Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Mark Men Madness here on this Monday on Mancini Media Blog Talk Radio. Our show is produced by Mark Mancini. I'm Mark Heffernan. My email address is markheff20@gmail.com, markheff20@gmail.com. Rams and Niners coming up about 5:15 p.m. in Santa Clara, not San Francisco. They're called the San Francisco 49ers, but they play in Santa Clara. What do you think about that? Our number 347-205-9631. 347-205-9631. NFL, the Raiders outlasted the Broncos 32-23 for the first win in four games this year. That was in Vegas. Derek Carr, 21-34, 188 yards, very efficient game for him. Josh Jacobs was outstanding running back for the Raiders. 28 carries, 144 yards, a couple of touchdowns, a 5.1-yard average. Devontae Adams, 9 receptions for 101 yards. Broncos with 2-2. Russell Wilson, he looked good. 17-25, 237 yards, a couple of scores, 29 yards rushing. He was their leading runner in the game. Much like he was in Seattle, that probably won't get the job done. Needs more help there in Denver. So the Raiders are now 1-3, and Denver is 2-2. Final in OT, the Packers 27, the Patriots 24. It shouldn't have been that close. Why? Because the Pats were playing with their third-string quarterback. New England at 1-3. And the Packers at 3-1. Crosby, the game-winning field goal in overtime. Aaron Rodgers, 21-35, 251 yards, two scores, and an INT, pick six, basically. Jones, 110 yards rushing for Green Bay. Zappe, 10-15, 99 yards and a touchdown for the Patriots. He only threw for 100 yards, or less than 100 yards. Why was the score so close to 27-24? The Bills, 23. The Ravens, 20. Buffalo coming back in that game. The Ravens led 20-10 at the half. Baltimore went for the touchdown. Instead of a field goal late, it came back to haunt them. Came away with nothing. Josh Allen led Buffalo to the winning field goal as they won 23-20. Buffalo now 3-1, and the Ravens are 2-2. Another great game for Josh Allen. Did not have quite the great statistics. He was 19-36. For 213 yards, a touchdown in INT, but had 70 yards rushing, which was a key. As far as Lamar Jackson is concerned, a low game for him, 20-29, 144 yards, a touchdown, two interceptions. So neither played great football, but it was a tough game. Chargers, 34. Texans, 24. Chargers now 2-2, and the Texans, 0-3-1. That means zero victories for Houston. The Chargers have led 27-7 at the half. I was watching that game. And L.A. was blowing them out, came back to it. I couldn't believe the fact they had to kind of win at the end. Justin Herbert, another fine game, 27-39, 340 yards, a couple of scores. Mike Williams, 7 receptions, 120 yards. And Eckler had 3 touchdowns rushing, looked pretty good in the game. As far as Mills, quarterback for Houston, he was 26-35, 246 yards, 2 scores, 2 interceptions, and Pierce, 131 yards rushing and a touchdown for the Texans. But nevertheless, the Chargers win 34-24. They are now 2-2, and the Texans 0-3-1. Big win for Los Angeles. Okay, the Vikings 28, the Saints 25, another tough game. You don't win the NFL, no wins are guaranteed. If you're playing a bottom-ranked team, it'll probably be a tough game. You have very few blowouts. Just the nature of the NFL, the National Football League now, where most of your games are tight, and they're decided in the last minutes, if not in the last seconds. So the Vikings win 20-25. They're now 3-1, and the Saints are 1-3. Cousins, 25-38, 273 yards, a touchdown, and an interception. Jefferson, big game, 10 receptions, 147 yards. Dalton, who was the backup quarterback for the Saints, now the starter. Jameis Winston is hurt. It was 20-28, Andy, 236 yards and a score. Another consistent game for him. Falcons 23 and the Browns 20. The Falcons are 2-2 and the Browns are 2-2. Mariota, not a good game. 7-19, 139 yards and INT for the Oregon product. Brissett, 21-35 for the Browns, 234 yards interception. Chubb, 118 yards rushing. So why did the Browns lose? Look at the stats. You thought they would be the victorious team, but they lost by 3 points. Usually turnovers have a lot to do with that, and not making big plays in the red zone. Seattle 48, Detroit 45. Talk about offense. Seahawks surprisingly are 2-2, and Detroit 1-3, but Detroit has improved a lot since last year. Seattle led 24-15 at the break. Geno Smith, probably his best game since college. He was 23 of 30, 320 yards, two scores. Penny, 17 carries, 151 yards and two touchdowns. DJ Metcalf, 7 receptions, 149 yards. Did anybody play defense? You know, defense? Goff, Jared Goff. Big game for him. 26 of 39, 378 yards, four touchdowns, one INT. Williams, 108 yards rushing, two scores. Hawkinson, 179 yards and a couple of touchdowns. So big offensive games for both teams. Goff hasn't played that well since he was with the Rams and on his last year with the Rams. Geno hasn't had a game like that since college. We'll see what happens the next week. Titans 24, Colts 17. Tennessee now 2-2. The Colts 1-2-1. Tannehill 17 of 21, 137 yards, two scores. Henry, nice game with running back from Alabama. 22 carries, 114 yards and a score. Matt Ryan for the Colts, 27 of 37, 356 yards, two touchdowns and an INT. A lot of guys had two touchdowns and an INT yesterday. A lot of quarterbacks threw for over 300 yards, and some of them in losing efforts. Eagles 29, Jags 21, Jacksonville an improved team, 2-2 now. The Eagles, those freaking Eagles, 4-0. Hurts, 16 of 25, 204 yards and an INT. Sanders, 134 yards rushing. So as you see, a lot of teams had great balance yesterday, especially the winning teams. They passed well and they ran very well. Jaguars, Lawrence did not play well. 11 of 23, held the ball too long. 174 yards, a couple of touchdowns and an INT for Trevor Lawrence. He has done a better job this year of getting rid of the ball quicker. Yesterday was not the case, playing against a very good Philadelphia team. Those freaking Eagles. In fact, I'm on a Philadelphia-based program this Thursday with Mark Mancini and Mary. Libertyville Smack, it's on at 3 o'clock Pacific time, from 3 o'clock to 4 o'clock Pacific time. Also, Sal is on there, and we have a very special guest. It's on WWDB AM Talk Radio in Philadelphia, and you can check it out on HD2 Radio 97.5 and the WWDB Radio app. So that will be on Thursday. I'll try to talk about that at the conclusion of the show today. So another great game was last night, Kansas City 41, Tampa Bay 31. Patrick Mahomes, 23 of 37, 249 yards, three touchdowns, one pick. Hilaire ran for 92 yards for Kansas City. And Tom Brady had another excellent game. He was 39 of 52, 385 yards, three touchdowns, no picks. But here's the key. Tampa Bay ran for 3 yards. They had six carries. One ball player had 6 yards rushing. The other was minus three. So for Tampa Bay, 3 yards rushing in a game, not really very good. Okay, do we have some people that have called in today to the program? 347-205-9631, 347-205-9631. Okay, here we go, Mark. 9-6-0 against the Lambs last 3 years. Yeah, but you didn't count the most important game, Cavi, the NFC Championship. Who won that and who won the Super Bowl? So you can't say they're 6-0 the last 3 years. Okay, 6-1, but the Rams won the most important game. When's the last time that San Francisco / Santa Clara has won the Super Bowl? Okay, so get your facts straight. At the Huntington Beach, Padres, but the fact is, Cavi never gets his facts straight. He talks out of his mouth. He's spontaneous and doesn't always know what he's talking about. You've got to tell the entire story. You're watching ESPN too much. At the Huntington Beach, Padres going after Mets. Then you and I, Mark, Padres Dodgers. Okay, Sal from Germantown, Pennsylvania. Eagles, 4-0. Jalen Hurts looks great. Carl from Cypress, California. Going to Rams game Sunday against the Cowboys. Tickets are $177 apiece. Well, you know they have different prices for tickets. I guess that's the basic price, $177 at SoFi Stadium. Nick from Springfield, Illinois. Albert Pujols just hit another homer. He owns Mancini and Pittsburgh. Okay. Well, Albert Pujols has owned a lot of teams in his career, over 700 home runs, a lot of RBIs, a great hitter, fantastic career. He has owned many pitchers and many teams over his illustrious career. Has been an MVP performer. He's just been marvelous for baseball, a great person for kids. and for younger players, definitely a role model. He's been fantastic. St. Louis, Angels back to St. Louis, and hopefully he will do some damage in the postseason, except if he plays against the Dodgers. Our number 347-205-9631, 347-205-9631. Okay, he is the creator, founder, administrator of Dodger Buzz, Greg Wahome. Welcome to Marked Men Madness. How are you?
Hey, Mark. How you doing?
Doing pretty good. What about you?
Oh, we're very happy here in Dodger Land. 110 wins and 49 losses, all-time record for them.
And
best,
Greg, Tony
best record
on
baseball
tonight. Is he going to go three innings or five? What's the story on Gonsolin returning for the Dodgers tonight? Is he on a pitch count?
Oh yeah, definitely. Yeah, he's had a great season. He had a little bit of a sore arm issue. He's back now. I think he goes three or four. Just to get him set up, and then and maybe he'll be the game four starter in the playoffs. Maybe go game four after obviously Urias, Kershaw, and Anderson.
Before we go on to baseball, another text here. Arizona looks like Kyler Murray wants to run the offense, just came back from Los Angeles, saw Arizona State lose to USC. Okay, at any rate, get back to baseball. We have Gonsolin pitching tonight. Kershaw has been great this year, much better than last year, as I told you. 11-3, ERA in the low twos. And if you get five or six solid innings out of Clayton with only one, maybe two runs allowed, he's done a very good job. As you know, he has been the same pitcher in the postseason as he's been in the regular season. If he pitches in the postseason like he has this year in the regular season, the Dodgers are in very good shape. His strikeout-to-walk ratio has been amazing. And he has been an amazing pitcher for a long time and sometimes gets a bum rap for what he's done in the postseason. But he actually has done better in the playoffs the last two times the Dodgers have been in. So keep our fingers crossed for Clayton to do a good job. Anderson has been a victim of not a lot of runs scored. I think the last three or four games he's pitched, the Dodgers is not scoring runs, maybe scoring one or two for him in his six or seven innings pitch. And he's picking up losses despite the fact he's pitched very well. His ERA is in the twos, and he's won 15 or 16 games. Should have more victories this year. So, and then, but I think the best pitcher in Tulio Urias, who's been such amazing, had a 3-6 start this year, was the victim of the Dodgers not scoring many runs. Last year, he was 20-3, and he had great run support. 17-7 right now. Another guy, ERA in the twos, and I think their best pitcher in the clutch, Tulio Urias. So you have Urias, you have Anderson, you have Kershaw, and hopefully Gonsolin, if he doesn't start, he'll be coming in from the pen. And what do you think about Heaney? Now, I think Heaney has a pretty good rising fastball, but to me, he gives it too many gopher balls. Do you think that Heaney will be a starter in the playoffs, or do you think he'll come in as a relief pitcher?
I think it depends on the composition of the lineup, where he may come in. He could be a one-inning opener for Gonsolin, or maybe Gonsolin could start, and he could come in the fourth or fifth inning, because I think I'm looking for game four for Gonsolin to maybe only have be built up to four innings. But what's amazing is you got a staff where you have four starting pitchers under 2.57 or under. You have Anderson at 2.57, Arias 2.12, Gonsolin 2.1, and Kershaw 2.3. When do you have a staff like that? That's really incredible. I mean, we know the three left-handers will start the first three games. I think it'll be some kind of combination of Gonsolin and Heaney in game four. But I'm not sure who Dave Roberts will choose to start, however.
And do you think that Dustin May will be healthy and be able to go one or two rounds in relief, one or two innings in relief? Dustin May's big redhead?
I really don't know. Yeah, I don't know his health situation. I mean, I think he could be in the mix for that game four as well, maybe just for one or two innings. I mean, he came off Tommy John. He started off good, and then he got hurt a little bit again. So
yeah, been
I'm
a little
just
up and down. And of course, he hasn't pitched in over a year. But you know, once I think the first round series, the wild card series, begins October 11th. The Dodgers have some time off, so after the regular season, they have at least a week off, which should help some of the pitchers. Almonte has returned. Kimbrel obviously has not been a very good closer for the Dodgers this year, but he's pitched very well when he's coming to games in the fifth and sixth inning. I note that his ERA has dropped below four, about 3.88. You've liked the fact that he's pitched well coming in games earlier. He doesn't seem to handle pressure as well as he used to when he was younger. So are you in favor of Roberts using him in the postseason earlier in the game?
I think in certain in low leverage situations. I think he was more comfortable and felt less pressure the last two times in the sixth inning. And I think that's a good place for him because you got so many – you have so many other pitchers doing better than him. You got Phillips and Graterol and Canley, Martin, and some left-handers, Vesia and Ferguson. So I definitely – with those five or six guys, I definitely see Kimbrel being being pushed back to maybe low leverage, like sixth inning or so forth, because otherwise it's going to be holy heck with the fans because so many fans are negative on Kimbrel, you know, just in our Dodger Buzz and other Dodger groups.
Yeah, Bess has done a good job, the left-hander. And do you think that Phillips and Graterol will kind of rotate as closers for the Dodgers in the postseason?
Yeah, Gabe Roberts doesn't seem to commit to anyone on a definite role. I mean, I like
that. Yeah, he's playing his cards at this point. I think he's just checking things. He's checking everybody out, see how healthy we are and how we're pitching right now. And I think he's just kind of go at it day by day. I'm sure once the postseason starts, we'll have more idea. But he still has time. As you know, he's been playing, pitching some guys that probably won't make the playoff roster and even playing some people like that. So he has the luxury of, you know, living by 23 games. But, you know, I saw Atlanta play a couple of games this weekend, and I'm a little concerned about that team, Gray, because, as you know, they beat the Dodgers last year in the National League Championship, and Dodgers beat them the year before. And even though the Dodgers got Freddie Freeman, they picked up Olson from Oakland. He has, like, over 30 home runs and 101 RBIs. He doesn't
hit
like Freddie.
I wrote down that.
I think Swanson has improved as a hitter, the shortstop. He's a free agent. They got about six or seven guys tied up for the next two or three years contractually, and they're young players. And one thing about Atlanta is that they're very good in the clutch, especially at home. And now that they swept the Mets and basically are up by two games with three left, any combination of an Atlanta winner, the Mets are losing, and Atlanta wins the National League East.
Yeah, the Mets totally dropped. They're a wild card team. The Braves are number two, and I have a feeling the NLCS will be the Braves and the Dodgers again. You got Riley with 38 home runs, decent average. Olson 33, not a 241 average, kind of mediocre. Dansby Swanson had a good year though, at 277.
Yeah, he's about to really come on. He's going to command some money as a free agent.
Yeah, that would be very interesting. Yeah, and I think Riley's money in the bank for them too. So they're going to be good. I think it's going to be a very competitive series because the Mets totally dropped out, and I think they can beat San Diego, but I think the Dodgers would beat either the Mets or San Diego in the second round.
Well, as the season ended today, and everything's almost in place in the American League, the Astros and Yankees would have byes. Astros number one seed, Yankees number two, and that's going to play out. The wild card series, number five, Mariners, and number four, Toronto. The winner will face Houston. And the other wild card series, the number six, Rays, and number three, Cleveland. The winner will play number two seed. So now the division winner with the worst record will be number three seed, regardless of the record. So you may have a wild card team with a better record than a division winner with the worst record for a division winner. Nevertheless, that's how it's going to play out.
Yeah,
okay,
that's
kind of lopsided. Toronto, do you have a favorite between Seattle and Toronto?
I'm happy for Seattle that they finally made it back after about 20 years, but I'll go with Toronto. Toronto's three games better than them. They've got a lot of interesting guys like obviously Guerrero and who's the other? Bichette. Guerrero 31 home runs, Bichette 24. The juniors.
Yeah.
And they got George Springer now, and he has 25, and also Hernandez 25. So I would go, and it looks like Manoah is their ace at 2.24 ERA. Stripling's done well at three. So I would favor Toronto over Seattle at this point. I am happy Seattle made it, but I think Toronto, with all their games at home and everything, would have the advantage there.
Well, at this point, Toronto's two games ahead of the Rays with three left. So that's pretty good. That's almost, finished as far as that's concerned. Rays number six at number three, Cleveland. Now, if the Rays and Cleveland, if they meet, do you have a favorite in that series? Tampa Bay? And Tampa Bay seems like they're in the playoffs every year. Tampa Bay at Cleveland.
They have the experience, but more than Cleveland. Cleveland has a very young ball club. I hear they're the youngest club in the major leagues. I heard something like an average age of 26. But they play four games better. I would favor Cleveland. They have a good young ball club, and they've been.
And they have a great manager in Francona. We know how good he is. You know, with Boston for years, and he's a guy that's always made Cleveland competitive. May not have a talent in some of the major market teams, but ever since he's been there, Cleveland has been competitive. And so you can never count his team out. And like you said, a very young ball club, but I think a very smart ball club. They play very good baseball, and people overlook them because they don't see Cleveland on TV that much. But as you and I both know, Cleveland has great fans. The fans really love them. And they're a team to look out for. They have some outstanding players on the team that you don't hear a lot about.
Yeah, I think they're kind of your sleeping giant. I don't know how they do against the Yankees, but the Yankees sure dropped off from where they were early in the season. I mean, you got Judge, Stanton, and Rizzo, you know, hitting all those home runs, but Judge is the only one hitting for average.
Right.
That's like a one-man show.
The Dodgers, number one seed, and probably Atlanta, the number two seed. And wild card series, number five Padres and number four Mets. You know, the Mets, Greg, basically dropped from a possible number two seed to a number four seed. You know, if they actually eventually get beat by Atlanta, because Atlanta has the tiebreaker and they have a two-game lead with three to play. So it's kind of like over with the Mets as far as that's concerned. So that's kind of tough. You drop from number two to number four because they're a division winner with the worst record. And at one time they had the best record in baseball. But, you know, they led Atlanta by 10 games. June 1st. That's one of the biggest blown leads in Major League Baseball history, even though that was June 1st. Okay, so we have the Padres at the Mets. Now, is that a plus for the Padres or a plus for the Mets?
Well, the Padres haven't played up to their expectations at all this year. I mean, Machado's had his year, of course. Obviously, they didn't get anything out of Tatis. Soto's not hitting like they expected. I mean, San Diego's been playing better the last couple of weeks. The Mets have really been on a drop. But I would still favor the Mets over the Padres. The whole series will be in New York. And overall, the Mets have a better team. But the Padres could surprise you. You know, I really couldn't say for sure. But I would have to favor the Mets.
Well, the Phillies are on the verge of being the sixth seed in the National League, and they will be taking on the St. Louis Cardinals. Six at number three, winner will face the number two seed, which would be the Atlanta Braves. So we have the Phillies, most likely at number three, St. Louis. Winner will take on Atlanta. I think a pretty good series between the Philadelphia Phillies and the St. Louis Cardinals. The Phillies have been up and down, playing well. St. Louis has played well the second half of the year. Two teams with great success over the years. All seem to be pretty good in baseball. It looks like a good series to me.
Yeah, I would favor St. Louis because they do have the overall better club. Phillies could always surprise you. You never know for sure in this game. There's always surprises, but I would give it to St. Louis. Obviously, you got the emotional issue with Pujols having a great final year. I guess 702 home runs now. Let me look. I got the stats up here. Who do you got here? You got the Cards. Pujols
hit
23
today,
home
right?
runs, 268. Yeah, another one today. And then obviously Goldschmidt's dropped an average, but 35 homers, and Nolan Arenado good at 30 home runs. So I would favor the Cardinals just because they'll be at home and they have the better ball club. But Philly could surprise you. You never know.
Well, this year a different playoff format. The wild card rounds, the best of three. All three games will be played at the home side of the team with the best record, so it's not going to go back and forth. Divisional series are best of five, and the league championship series and World Series are best of seven. So just like it is, baseball's a marathon regular season. You got to win a lot of games in baseball, Greg, don't you, to be a champion? And the thing is, It's hard to win a World Series. And the Dodgers last year won 107 games and got knocked off after they beat the Giants, who had won like 108. This year the Giants, you know, obviously a lot less wins than last year, a big drop down for the Giants. But the Dodgers come back. As of right now, they won 110 games with three games left. So another marvelous regular season for the Dodgers. Some people, including our producer Mark Mancini, say the Dodgers are built for the regular season, and they're not built to win at all. Do you agree with that assessment?
I differ with that with the pitching, because you got you're going to have games 1, 2, and 3. You're going to have Urias at 2.12 going the first game, and Kershaw 2.3, Anderson at 2.57, and then obviously if you have a game 4 in the first round, you're going to have either Gonsolin maybe going with, you know, tag teaming with Heaney, you know, because neither one's going to be able to pitch a lot of innings. May be in the mix, maybe not for the first round. But, I mean, the Dodgers pitching is far the best with those low ERAs. They just have an outstanding pitching staff. And that, whether they're hitting or not, that will give them the advantage. I mean, I think the people in the slump will come out of it going into the playoffs, so as far as they're hitting. And they'll do a lot of platooning as well, as far as that's concerned. But the pitching is
what's going to be very good. Well, the Dodgers' depth does pay dividends for them in a regular season. They can win a lot of games by resting some of their key players. Betts, they rest him about every 4 or 5 games. They rested Freddie, but Freddie and Trey Turner have played most of their games this year. As you know, I have concern about Trey Turner, and I don't think he's been playing very good baseball the last month. We've talked about the fact he's been stuck at 97 RBIs for a long time. For almost the entire season, he led Freddie Freeman in RBIs. I think at one point he was up on him by 10 or 12 ribbies. It's not that Freddie's been driving that many runs in the second half. It's that Trey's just not doing much at all. He's not – if you're not hitting the ball, you're not going to score runs, you're not driving in runs. And the other day, Dodgers had runs the first and second, and it was Turner, Freeman, and I think it was either Muncy or Smith that all struck out. 3 strikeouts with 2 runners on. Now, I know the game doesn't mean that much from the standpoint of they have 110 wins, but is there any carrot over for the Dodgers into the postseason? I think they've kind of been getting by the last couple of weeks. I know Roberts is playing different people, but I've noticed they score a lot of runs in certain games and they come back and they come down to a thud, scoring 1 or 2, and they get beat. Against pitchers like at Colorado, they have ERAs over 5 or 4.9. And these guys are holding them to 1 run over 6 or 7 innings. And the Dodgers are playing pretty much the guys they'll use in the postseason. So you wonder about them in the postseason. Now, they're not going to be scoring 8, 9, and 10 runs in games. The game is going to be lower scoring. So pitching is the key. So do you think – we know the Dodgers have 110 wins. And they win a lot of games every year. Do you think the Dodgers are a real good clutch team? Are they going to get hits in the clutch? I'm talking about moving runners from first to second, second to third, and get those high-quality singles to bring in the guy from second to third base instead of trying to jack the ball out of the ballpark. Now,
you know,
to me, Atlanta is a very good – I'm a Dodger fan, as you know, but to me, Atlanta is a very, very good clutch team. I saw that last year when they got hot in the postseason. I saw it the year before when the Dodgers beat them in the playoffs. They seem to get hits when they really count late in the game, whether they're home runs or doubles. For some reason, the guys that get their minds, they're very focused. And as you know, the regular season helps as far as seeding. Once you get to the postseason, regular season doesn't really mean a heck of a lot. It just means you play more games at home, but you still have to execute on the field. And if you look at the Dodgers, their stats and everything, yeah, they look great. You know, ERA 2.7 as a team, and a lot of teams are well over 3. But will those guys pitch that way in the postseason? Will the Dodgers staff have a 2.7 to 2.9 ERA in the postseason? That's my question.
Well, I think they got to play their best horses as far as the pitching is concerned, especially in the tight games. But Trey, yeah, as you know, he's been stuck on 97 RBIs for about 2 weeks now. Freddie passed him and has 98. But I think the thing with Trey, he is a streak hitter. You know, he's had several hitting streaks up around 20 or more games, and then he goes into a little slump. And right now he's in a slump. He's only batting 298. So I think for Trey, the 5-day layoff while they're having the wild card series, that will do him some good. I think maybe the break will do him some good. I'm sure they'll take some batting practice, maybe have some simulated games and so forth. But But the break from actual game competition will help train. He'll have a fresh start going into the playoffs. We're not depending on him to be the clutch hitter all the time. Him and Mookie can get on base, and then Freddie and Will Smith can drive him in. So if Trey can just get on base and use the speed, that would help a lot. And
we know the Dodgers have trouble this year. They're seventh or ninth hitters. Even though he put Gavin Lux in there, on the bottom, and he's hitting .285 or so. Hasn't hit that well since he's come back from injury, so his average has dropped a little bit. Chris Taylor's not had the kind of season they thought he would have. Got a nice contract now season. He's dealt with a lot of injuries. He's only like about .220, yet he's had a few big hits lately, and he seems to be very good in the clutch. One of my guys is Will Smith, who I think is one of the most improved players in the team, and I think one of the best catchers in the league. Not the greatest defensively, but he has improved in that area. He's a very good hitter, not for average, but he hits with power. Seems to be pretty good in the clutch throughout his career, and he's had a slow start. He's done really well since June. Nice power, drives and runs. And our other guy, who we thought was getting older, and yes, he is, and had a bad start, but is really, like Smith, has done very well since June, is Justin Turner, JT. Now, Justin, even when he wasn't hitting that well, he was driving in runs. And he's like over 80 RBIs this year, and his average is over .280. He's been fantastic the last 4 months. So, they rest him here and there. He still does a good job at third base. I think he's a very key for the Dodgers, been excellent in the clutch. I think they're all-time leader in hits in the playoffs. So, Dodgers have a lot of players that can come through. They don't really have to rely on any one or two dudes. It's just a matter of, guys coming together and the pitching staff. Let's talk about the big three, Mookie Betts, Turner, and Freeman. In your opinion, are they the best big three in baseball as far as hitting and average on any team?
Yeah, pretty close. I was looking at some of the other stats on some of the other teams, and to see three guys up there on average, although Mookie's only around .270, but he's having a lot of power, 35 home runs. It's kind of a new ball game because usually your number three or number four hitter would be your leader in home runs. Now you have your leadoff hitter as a leader in home runs, and I guess Smith is second at 24, and he usually bats cleanup. But I guess Mookie's bats up, but he's comfortable there. They got to just do their thing and then hope to get good contributions from Will Smith. And even though Max Muntz is not hitting for average, he's done better, and I think he can come through with a clutch hit or a clutch home run once in a while. And
Cody Bellinger, don't you agree? Bellinger doesn't hit for average like Muntz, but he has some pop. And Cody seems to do pretty well in the postseason. Even when the Dodgers have gotten knocked off, he seems to hit and make big hits in the postseason.
Well, Cody's picking it up now, so I think he'll be fine in the postseason. He didn't hit for average last year, and he did very well in the postseason. So I have a feeling this is Cody's time to pick it up and prove all his doubters.
Well, as the average is not really that important in the postseason because, a lot of guys, even great players, don't hit that well for average in some of the games. But the whole key is if you're driving in runs at the most important time. And it's not about home runs. It's about driving balls, getting doubles. And as the Dodgers, a lot of guys with speed. You look at Mookie, Trey Turner. Freddie Freeman has, decent speed, those long legs at 6'4". Cody, Lux, CT. The Dodgers have a lot of players that can run on their team. And that's why I hope that in the postseason I can see them driving the ball into the gaps and the alleys. I want to see more doubles from the team. Move some guys along. They have a lot of guys that can steal bases. I still think hit and run can be very positive for this team because they have six guys that really fly on the bases. They don't really have to rely on the home runs. They have guys that run the bases that are fast. So hopefully we can see some of that from the Dodgers in the postseason. Oh, there's a guy from Modesto, Greg. Pat says, come on, Greg. Dodgers can't match my Giants. Three titles in 6 years. What do you say to that?
Well, that was long ago. That was when, 2010, 12, 14. I mean, it's funny. The first time I was on in April, we were surprised how the Giants were doing so well and everything. And look what happened. Post-posing, they went back down and had a very mediocre season. I guess they're around the .500 mark. He's talking about, a decade ago when the Giants
well,
had three titles.
The Giants, Greg, the Giants in those years got hot. Weren't they a wild card team some of those years? They didn't win that many games in regular season. They got hot and surprised everybody. Now the Giants team that won a lot of games in the regular season was last year, 108, for the Dodgers to beat them in the playoffs.
Well,
I guess it's better for the Giants to win like 85 to 92 games in the regular season than get hot in the playoffs. Because the one team won a lot of games like the Dodgers do last year, they got knocked off by L.A.
Yeah, but who had the big hit in Game 5 against the Giants? Cody Bellinger.
Yeah, I remember against Atlanta. Or was it? Or didn't he have the game-winning hit against Atlanta 2 years ago in the National League Championship, had a home run? And also against San Diego when the Dodgers won the World Series in 2020. Remember he leaped up, made a catch at the center field fence to take a home run away, I think from Tatis. But then he also hit a home run in that game. Cody Bellinger has had some big hits for the Dodgers and huge moments in the playoffs.
Right. I think he'll do fine in the playoffs hitting, you know, clutch hits. And also his defense will help. He'll make a big defense play here and there, too. And
I hope that the Dodgers will go through the playoffs and represent the National League in the World Series. Do you have a favorite team in the American League that you think will face the Dodgers in a World Series?
I hate to say this because I don't like
it.
I hate to say this. I don't like them. Dodger fans don't like him. I like their manager because he was a great Dodger player. But I would have to favor Houston. You know,
yes.
Who knows? The Yankees are just so much weaker now. I think it'll be Houston. I don't want it to be Houston, but I just think it will be. That's what I'm saying now. Maybe the Guardians.
They've knocked out the Yankees in the playoffs quite a few times. You look at Houston, though, a fine team. A lot of good hitters led by Altuve. You know, like I said, Spring went to Toronto. Correa went to Minnesota. They just seem to reload. Their center fielder has had a great year. And
Jordan Alvarez.
The 39-year-old, one of the top pitchers in the American League, probably won the Cy Young Award. And so a lot of talent on the team.
1.82, Verlander,
So they don't lack for talent. They're a very talented team. They are excellent at home, as you know, in that band box in Houston. They're very excellent there with the crowd. A lot of home runs. Tough team to beat and also very good, you know, on the road. So that'll be a tough matchup for anybody. And generally, about every season, somebody's got to go through Houston in the American League. They're going to be there. They're going to win the championship or they'll get beat in the American League championship. So, I know Dodger fans, including me, don't really like them, but they're a very talented
team. I'll root against them from game one, but I hope. But I think they'll win. I hope they don't. That's all I can say about the Astros.
What about they're being led by Mr. Dusty Baker, ex-Los Angeles Dodger? He's coached
That's what I'm going to talk about. I worked at Dodger Stadium all the years that Dusty was there, and Dusty was one of the best players they had at the time. He was a clutch hitter. When they needed a double, a single, a home run in the ninth or tenth inning, he was always coming through. I mean, he was really their best clutch hitter at that time, and they had Steve Garvey, they had Reggie Smith, they had Rick Monday, they had Ron Say. But it seems like Baker was the one that always come through in the clutch in the late 70s and early 80s.
And he's coached quite a few teams in his career, hasn't he? The Giants, Washington, and now, of course, with Houston. And he's always won, you know, wherever he's been at. He says he kind of lets the players play, doesn't say a lot. There was one player I heard that was giving him a bad time, and Dusty says, do you know who I am? You know what I've done, what I did in my career?
Dusty had the best mentor when he started out, and that was Hank Aaron. He was teammates with Hank Aaron when Hank hit his record home run in 74. And Hank Aaron always gave Dusty a lot of good advice, and that certainly helped him with his career. And then he came to the Dodgers and had many years as a good years as a player there. And he's been a great manager for years. I mean, very laid back, but he knows his stuff and he can get the best out of his players.
Greg Wilhelmin's my guest on Markman Madness here on Blog Talk Radio. And our producer is Mark Mancini of Mancini Media. Our number is 347-205-9631. 347-205-9631. Greg, tell me about Dodger Buzz. We've got a lot of Dodger fans, including myself, that tag on to that every day, and we give our predictions on the score of that, what we think will be the score of that particular day, and who will hit a home run for the Dodgers. That has really grown and developed in the last year, year and a half, Dodger Buzz.
Yeah, that's keeping me busy. I started it this year in spring training. I used to do like live videos. I call them Dodger Buzz, and I've been writing reports on my regular Facebook. I started once they settled the dispute, the lockout this year, to start as a group. We've grown to about 4,000, a little over 4,100 people now, 4,100 members, and everyone enjoys a contest. It keeps me busy at night, however, adding up all the points, especially when there's several home runs hit. But it's a lot of fun, and we really have a lot of good fans in that group. We're really strong Dodger fans that know the game, and it's enjoyable to have dialogue with them all the time.
Well, Greg, I'm a sportscaster, do play-by-play and a lot of announcing, things like that. I've only gotten one score correct this year, and I've been close a lot of times, but I think I've only gotten one score correct. I don't play it every day, but a lot of people have done a great job and have a lot more points than me and are better at predicting scores and things like that. I'm not even sure.
I only got it three times all year, the exact score. You know, I'll get one.
I don't know if I picked the right person hitting a home run either. I mean, I'll pick Mookie one day, he hit a home run the following day. I pick Cody one day, and Freeman hits a home run. I've been picking Trey Turner a lot lately, just hoping he's going to hit a home run. He hasn't done that. I don't know if I've ever picked CT or Muncy. I'm always seem like I'm one day away from these guys or 2 days away. By the way, Dennis from Mission Viejo, California, season ticket holder for the Dodgers, he says, let's get the job done this year. By the way, I think Aaron Judge deserves the MVP. Everyone talking about Otani, but the Angels are terrible. Keep up the great work. So that's the guy. His name is Dennis from Mission Viejo. He's like me picking Aaron Judge to be the MVP of the American League over Shohei Otani. And not taking anything away from Shohei.
He's a fantastic player,
but he plays in a team that's 20 games under 500.
It's going to be Judge. I mean, Judge just tied Maris. He may beat him yet, so it's definitely going to be Judge, I think, no problem. I mean, how can you hit 61 or 62 home runs and not be the MVP?
Well, by the way, let's switch to football. I'm kind of watching the Niners and the Rams, Greg, on TV, and looks like Stafford's taking too much time to throw the ball. He's been sacked twice.
Well, he just got,
you know,
he just
got sacked. The problem with the Rams is that they don't run the ball very well, so teams kind of tee off on him. This time he went back to pass, and he just got mugged by a guy. I think the guy was coming from a blitz. Might have been a stunt. Nobody blocked the guy. He went right.
Yeah,
it
looks
back
like
left.
Bosa, yeah.
Yeah,
yeah,
it was Bosa. But earlier in the game,
Bosa.
It was a similar play where they came in and sacked Stafford. Now, the Rams had 3 points, had a couple short tosses to Cooper Kupp, but the 49ers scored on a 30-plus yard run for a touchdown just moments ago. So, once again,
yeah,
you know how the Rams have trouble against San Francisco. They have trouble beating that team. Even the Rams won the Super Bowl. They won the NFC Championship, but the Niners have won the last 6 regular season games. And they get up for the Rams. It doesn't seem to me that the Rams get up for San Francisco for some reason. If you watch the mannerisms of the team, the Rams many times seem like they're just going through the motions. And the Niners always seem to be pumped up when they play in Santa Clara, when they're playing SoFi, and they have more fans usually at SoFi than the Rams do. They all seem to be the pumped up team. And as you know, the Niners are a more physical team than the Rams. So their style of play is tough for the Rams to defeat. And
we
seven to three. And the Rams, to me, have not played that well this season. They've kind of gotten by. I'm still waiting for them to really have that signature game. At this point, Stafford has 4 touchdowns, 5 interceptions. And everything played his best game of the season last week. Yeah, he did okay, but it wasn't great. And Kupp only had 4 receptions last week, has 3 today, but they still, the Rams, did not run the football well. They didn't run the football well last year
and
won the Super Bowl. But,
things changed,
though. You cannot be the same way this year as you were last year. Other teams get better. They get players. They make changes. You got to get better as a team. I don't see the Rams as a hungry team this year. I know how tough it is to win back-to-back championships. But my whole thing is just like, you play the Niners, why don't you look like you're up to play the Niners? They're like your main rival. Regardless of what your record is, I just want to see the Rams be more physical and show a little more passion when they play San Francisco, because here's the whole thing. I don't like when the Rams lose, but I could take a loss against another team. I don't like when they lose to San Francisco. So for me, it's almost like a double loss. It's like when the Dodgers play the Giants. And this year they dominated the Giants. And I'm glad they beat them last year in the playoffs because they're like their main rival. But for the Rams and Niners, they only play twice every year. And I don't like the fact that the Niners have won that many games in regular season against the Rams. In some years, the Rams were a better team. They still lost to San Francisco. So Shanahan has had the upper hand over McVay head-to-head since they've been head coaches. He's dominated him recently, but McVay has a Super Bowl victory and the NFC Championship. So I guess it depends on when you win.
Well, to this point, the Rams do not look as good as they did last year. They're off in the first game. They come back better. The division isn't that strong, so I think they still have a shot to win it. But at this point, because they have lost quite a few players, they don't look as good as they were last year. This game so far, they're not playing well early. They got a field goal. Niners came back with a touchdown, has half the ball again.
Well, it's not really scoring this year much. You know, having trouble offensively. And he hasn't hooked up with Robinson, the guy they got from Chicago. I don't think his head's been in the right place. He did a little bit better last week, but he's got to catch six, seven passes in the game. And the problem with him is that he hasn't been on the same page with the quarterback Stafford. But, you know, I look at the Niners right now. Garoppolo hits a Deebo Samuel for a completion. And Samuel gets up in the air and he's jumping up. I mean, they're all pumped up to play the Rams like it's the Super Bowl. You watch every play, every sack they get, every time they get a first down, the Niners, their players are getting up and they're jumping all over the place and playing to the fans. And the Rams are just kind of like going for the motions. I like to see them a little more passionate against San Francisco. And I like to see the defense, you know, make some stops out there.
Yeah, I noticed that as well.
I don't have a big problem with the Rams' defense. They tend to kind of bend but don't break. But I got a few issues with their offense this year. They're kind of stuck in mud. You know, last year they were 7-1. Then they lost three straight to go to 7-4. I didn't think they'd make it to the Super Bowl. I thought they'd get beat maybe in the second round. And then they kind of turned it around at that point.
Yeah, they beat the Niners when it counted in the playoffs.
If the Niners win tonight, then there's four teams that are 2-2 in the NFC West. If the Rams win, they have a two-game lead. So it's like a two-game stretch. My whole thing with the Rams is beat San Francisco. It seems still like a mental thing, regardless of how different players, a mental thing as far as beating the Niners. Now, I want them to win the division Rams, but I still want them to beat San Francisco or Santa Clara in the regular season this year, regardless of what they do. Regardless of whether they win the division or finish second, I want the Rams to beat them at least once. I don't like the fact they shouldn't get beat twice in 1 year, the Rams, by anybody, including the team up north. So that's one thing that irritates me. It irritated me last year. The year before and the year before that. And what really irritated me was the last game, the regular season. I was up in Fresno or in Stanger doing a basketball tournament. And I was following the game on my phone. And I was kind of hanging out in Fresno before I left. And, you know, the Rams had got off to a great start in the game. Was still winning in the third quarter. Niners tied them up on a drive for the end of regulation. Then they beat him in overtime. I was really basically pissed about that. And then the Niners did the Rams a favor by winning in Green Bay. Because as you know, in the playoffs, because you know the Rams don't win in Green Bay when it's cold. And they play them again this year, you know, late in the year. So the Niners did the Rams a favor by beating Green Bay. A lot of people say, hey, Mark, you don't know what you're talking about. Why'd you say the Niners did the Rams a favor? Because the Rams had to play the Niners in the NFC Championship. I said, no. They did the Rams a favor. The Rams did not have to go to Green Bay. And I thought the Rams were due to beat San Francisco in a big game. And they were down by 13 points late in the third, L.A., and they came back and won that game. So that was kind of an indication for 1 year. But here we go another year. And if you watch the game early on, San Francisco's been the team that's more pumped up and seems more ready.
Sure.
They just kind of turn it up. And they play the Rams. They just kind of turn it up a notch for some reason. They may go and get beat next week. They don't look good against Chicago in the rain in the fourth quarter. They really looked that good last week, the Niners. They played the Rams, and all of a sudden, they're a different team.
They were awful last week, yeah.
They played the Rams. They're a different team.
Well, I thought we were going to have to go into Green Bay last year, the Rams, and I was really worried about that game. So it worked out. They got to play San Francisco at home, and that turned out better for them. But here you got 9 or 7-3 after one period, and the Rams and the 49ers have the ball, the Rams are really going to have to step it up, and McVay's going to talk to him. But where would the Rams be without Cooper Kupp? I mean, he's the one guy that really drives the offense.
First of all, lose OBJ. Now, he still won the Super Bowl game, but he hasn't signed. He's still injured. And Robinson was supposed to come in and be the number two guy. As you know, he had a contract dispute in Chicago, so he didn't really play last year, didn't play very well because he wanted to bitch about his contract. So it comes to the Rams, and I'm sure they told him, you know, when they were speaking with him, that he was not going to be the number one receiver. The Cooper Kupp's the number one man. And I noticed that he wasn't running routes very well the first couple of games. Some of the balls were thrown behind him. He wasn't running routes very well. And he complained about something. My whole thing is go out there and play. You're making enough money, man. Go out there, run your routes properly. Catch the ball last week, dropped a pass right at the end zone, a slant pattern. Should have had it early in the game for a touchdown. He dropped one right through his hands. My whole thing, I don't care what you talk about. I don't give a crap how much money you say you should need, you need or whatever like that. All I care about is you play the game, whether it's baseball, football, or basketball. Show me what you got, man. Robinson, show me what you got. I don't give a crap how much money you make. So far, you don't have a good investment for the Rams. Yeah. You haven't done much. You're a physical receiver. You got to catch some damn balls out there, like 7-10. Get open. Get separation. Make some catches. Help the Rams. You got your money now. You bitched about that for a year. You didn't play hard in the Bears because you're worried about your money. You were making good money before. Check it out. Check him out. Check out how his career with Chicago kind of went down.
But
the Rams took a chance on him because they needed a guy. So he's got to step up. He can't be all number 10 Cooper Kupp. He gets double and triple teamed. You can't throw to him all the time.
And
they need Jefferson back.
Targets. I mean Higbee's good as a tight end, but you got to have one or one or two targets.
He doesn't have a lot of speed. The backup tight end, they need him back. He was suspended for PED use. So the backup tight end for the Rams, he played well in the Super Bowl. He's not eligible to play, I don't think, until next week. He was suspended for 3 games. So he missed last week. He's missing today. And I don't know when the suspension started. But he, I think, has more speed than Higbee. So I don't know if he's coming back next week or the following week, but he's not helping tonight. But the problem with the Rams, they need more speed from their wideouts. Need more plays from their wideouts besides Cooper Kupp because, like I said, they don't run the ball very well. You got to throw the ball to your backs, you know, flat pass to the right or left, and then you use Kupp. But somebody else, some other receiver has to come alive for their team, whether it's number two or number three receiver. That's all I got to say. Not enough guys are contributing on their team. Did a good job last week against Arizona because they always beat Arizona. Aren't they like 11-1 under Sean McVay against Arizona? But the Rams struggled with San Francisco, but the Rams always beat Seattle. So it's amazing how you're strong against two teams that are pretty good and another team you're robbing you struggle with. It's just odd how sports is, matchups and everything.
Well, good news, the Rams are getting the ball back. Fourth down.
Let me ask you this. When we talk about baseball, do you think the Rams will win the NFC West this year?
I think they're not as good, but I think Seattle's not good, and I don't think Arizona's good, and San Francisco can't beat anyone else but us, basically. So I think they'll win. I think it's going to be a weaker division. It's going to be almost a switch because the Cowboys won in their division when it was an easy division, but this year the Cowboys division are much better. Philadelphia has a good team. And I think the Western Division is going to be weaker. And I think the Rams
are going to have a very tough schedule, Greg. Rams play Tampa Bay later in the year. They play Green Bay at Green Bay. They play. They already played Buffalo. You know what happened in that game. That was Buffalo's best performance of the season. The Rams were totally outplayed. And then they play teams from the AFC West. Got to go against Mahomes, Chargers, that'll be a home game. And then the Raiders, and then, Russell Wilson. Play a lot of good teams this year, not just in their own league, but outside their conference. And you win the Super Bowl, they make your schedule tough the following year. So they got to take it, obviously, game by game, week by week. But it's going to be very hard, I think, to be better than 10-7 this year. I don't know if that would win
Tampa
their division.
Bay, Tampa Bay didn't look very good yesterday. Maybe Brady's finally starting to show his day.
Since he went to Tampa Bay, the Rams were 3-0 against him. They beat him, twice 1 year. And beat them last year, 3-0 against Tampa Bay since Brady's been there. But, of course, Brady beat them in big games when he was at New England, beat them twice in the Super Bowl. Done a better job against Brady when he's been in Tampa Bay. So we'll see what happens.
Well,
top players got to be healthy. Top players got to be healthy. You got to play well at the right time. And you just have to play good ball because, like I said at the beginning of the show, there are no guaranteed wins in the NFL. Any team can beat you on any given day, whether it's Thursday or Sunday or Monday. And you can talk about that movie any given Sunday. But a lot of close games in the NFL. Many games go down to the final minutes. Many games yesterday went down to the final play or the final minute of the game. So you got to play well for four quarters, and you got to come through. Guys got to make huge plays when it really counts in games. Not so much in the first half, but definitely in the second half, especially the last 4 minutes of the game, if not the last minute of a game, because there's a lot of parity in the NFL. I'm sure the NFL likes that because it makes all the games good. I don't think you have a dominant team. People thought Buffalo was going to be dominant, not necessarily. I don't think you have a dominant team in the NFL. You got a lot of parity, a lot of good talent. All the teams are like 1-3 right now. Greg Wilhelmy, Mr. Dodger Buzz, how can people get in touch with you?
I'm Dodger Buzz on Facebook. Join the group. Enjoy the dialogue. I have a Facebook page, and I have the Dodger Buzz page. So join up and enjoy it. We're going into the playoffs. I think we'll do well. I think the Braves are going to be the biggest challenge, of course, but hopefully we can prevail.
Well, Gonsolin's pitching tonight, maybe only for a few innings for the Dodgers, or are they going to beat Colorado this evening?
I'll go for it. They usually don't lose two straight to Colorado. They had a flat game yesterday. I think they can come back. I called the score at 6-3 tonight in favor of the Dodgers.
Okay, the Dodgers have three games left. Do you think they'll win two out of three at least to finish with 112 victories?
Yeah, I had that bonus contest, and I said 112, and I'm going to stick with it. I think they'll win two out of three and end up with 112 and 50.
As I leave, Greg, come on, Rams. You got to run the dang football. Cooper Kupp,
yeah, they got
inside
it back
pass,
now. But
Greg, give a double team. Stafford throws to the outside. Then they try to run a draw play, and Henderson only picks up like a yard. They just can't. Of course, we know the Niners stack it up, but they don't run that effectively against anybody. That's really a problem because they stack up the line. And you got to run the ball a little bit in games. And Stafford's got to really get rid of the ball. He's trying to throw the ball deep, and the pressure's coming to him. He just threw it away again. He's trying to throw the ball deep all the time, and he can't hold the ball for 3 seconds back there. And so they're really rushing him a lot in this game. Then you see Kupp making a move. One guy shadowing him. Another guy comes from the other side. You got to find somebody else that can get open once in a while on that team. But anyway,
that's
hey, thanks for being on the program today. And we'll keep in touch.
You're welcome. Yeah.
Thanks,
and,
Greg.
Thanks
a lot for being on Markman Madness.
You have a good day, sir. Thank you.
Okay, take care. And ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much for being on the show today. And call 347-205-9631, 347-205-9631. Thank you to all the listeners and people that texted me today. Thank you for Mr. Dodger Buzz, Greg. Obviously, he worked for the Dodgers one time. He's a Dodger Blue believer like some of my other friends. I believe in Dodger Blue, but I'm not quite as confident in what they will accomplish this year as Greg is, but that's okay. We all have differing opinions. I base my opinions on facts and what's happened in the past and also by the eye test. As I look at the game tonight right now between the Rams and Niners, you know, it's always a tough game for the Rams. The Niners are a very physical team. And to me, the Rams did not match up well with them. But the Rams did not do anything in the offseason to match up better with San Francisco. They just tried to match up well with other teams. But their lack of a running game really hurts them. They didn't run the ball very well last year or the previous year of the Rams, and they won the Super Bowl. But like I was telling Greg, things change from year to year. Just because it worked last year doesn't mean it's going to work this year in 17 games. Other teams get better. Teams get hungrier. They make free agent acquisitions. They make trades to get better and beat L.A. And the lack of a running game puts a lot of pressure on Stafford. They're just rushing him silly, and he's trying to go for a Cooper Kupp all the time because nobody else can get open. So it makes their offense look very pathetic, to say the least. At any rate, thanks for listening to Markman Madness here on Blog Talk Radio, driven by Mancini Media. Our producer is Mark Mancini. I'm Mark Heffernan, and my email address is sportswrapnet@yahoo.com, sportswrapnet@yahoo.com. I'm on Liberty Bell Smack Thursday at 2 o'clock Pacific time. Go to wwdbam.com to listen live or call 888-329-3306. God bless you. I'll talk to you next Monday, 5 o'clock, here on Blog Talk Radio. For Markman Madness, I'm Mark Heffernan. Good night.